Words aren't important. They are. In Jesus' name. This year we are celebrating, as you may know or not, the 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation. This is a big, big deal. 500 years. 500 years ago, that German monk, Martin Luther, nailed 95 theses or statements up on the church door in Wittenberg, Germany. He had no idea that that would inflame the entire European world and would affect Christians for generations as he questioned certain practices in the church of his day, questioning especially the sale of indulgence letters, which people were being told in Europe that you could purchase in order to shorten your time in the flames of purgatory, and if you paid enough money, could shorten the time that your loved ones spent in purgatory. And a fellow named Tetzel, who was selling these things across the river in Wittenberg, had that little cliche. He said, "Don't you hear the screams of your parents in the flames of purgatory? And you have the money to rescue them. What is a few coins to rescue your loved mother from the flames of purgatory? For as soon as the coin in the coffer rings, the soul from purgatory springs." And St. Peter's in Rome was built with German money and money from other places in Europe over the sale of indulgences and other things. Now the Festival of the Reformation and the day that we are observing today, All Saints Day, did you know that they are very closely related? For it was on the eve of All Saints Day, Hallowed Eve, which came to be called Halloween, as you know, that the relics would be prepared to be brought out. People would have a Vesper service that evening, and they would celebrate the dead, and they would pray for benefits from the saints who are long gone and dead. And the next morning, then they would venerate and worship at the relics of the saints, hopefully shortening their time in purgatory and hastening their way into paradise. And so one could argue that the Reformation actually had to do with this whole issue. Who is a saint? And that's a critical question. And all of you better listen, because no one who is not a saint will get into glory forever. Nobody can stand before God who is not a saint. And so I'd assume all of us should today be asking ourselves, am I one of God's blessed saints? Because if you're not, then only one fate awaits you after your death, and that is eternal damnation in hell. Well, so I ask you again, are you a blessed saint? Being a saint has nothing to do with how good you are, how good you live, how bad you are, how much money you have, how important you are, or what other people think of you. Being a saint has entirely and everything to do with Jesus. And that is the theme for the 500th Reformation celebration of it in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. It's all about Jesus. It's not about me, not about Pastor Johnson, Pastor Moss, Martin Luther, any of you. It's all about Jesus, who he is and what his relationship is with you. And that's what the whole Lutheran Reformation was about, friends. It wasn't about economic stability in Europe. It wasn't about all those things that you're going to be reading about in the newspapers these days about Martin Luther, that he was a social reformer and so on. He may have been that, but the issue was, who is a saint? How are declared innocent before God? That's the issue. As the Augsburg Confession, our primary Lutheran confession or Protestant confession, says, the scriptures do not teach that we are to call on the saints or ask them for help. Scripture sets before us the one Lord Jesus Christ, who is the only mediator, the only sacrifice, the only high priest, and the only intercessor for us before God. He and he alone is to be addressed in prayer, and only he can answer our prayers. Why is that? We all know, I hope. Because only Jesus has lived the kind of saintly life that God demands of all of us. I certainly have not. I don't think you have either. God wants all of us to be living holy life. Not giving it a shot. Not doing our best. Not doing better than our parents did or better than our neighbor. He wants us doing, living perfect lives as He Himself is perfect. In fact, that's what the word saint means. It means one set apart from ordinary things, one who is special. I am the Lord your God, says the Lord in the book of Leviticus. Make yourselves holy, for I am holy. And the word holy, kadosh, in Hebrew means set aside as special and unique. Is that you? Are you different from most people in the world? How you talk? How you spend your money? How you spend your time? Such holiness or saintliness begins with the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. Actually, more literally, no other gods in my face. Not your money, not your spouse, not your government, not all the candy you got on Halloween night, not your hot television, none of these things. You shall have no other gods in my face. Or as Luther explains it, we should fear, love, and trust in God above everything. Do you do that? If you do, then why do you worry so much? Why are you jealous of others, as I often am? Why do you complain? Why are you afraid to stand up and confess your faith? We should fear, love, and trust in God above everything. And so St. Peter in his epistle urges us, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as He who has called you is kadosh, holy, so you must be kadosh too in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, kadosh. For I am kadosh, I am holy. St. Paul agrees with this when he writes, do not be conformed to this world. Huh. The sad fact is, we are conformed to the world. We think like the world. We act like the world. We talk like the world. And sometimes people in our neighborhoods and at our work, in our school, would they even know that we are set apart? That we are kadosh? Or have we conformed ourselves so much to the world that nobody can tell the difference between us and non-Christians? As it is written in the scripture, all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin. As it is written, there is none who is righteous, not even one. All have sinned. That means you. You, me, you. All have sinned and fall far short of the glory of God. And if you fall short of the glory of God, folks, you cannot stand before God in glory forever. You see these Beatitudes we read a moment ago from the congregation here, those blessed sayings, they're really not about you and me. They're really about Jesus, aren't they? Isn't Jesus the one who is poor in spirit, not cocky and arrogant like we often are? Isn't Jesus the one who mourned not over that he lost some money in the stock market yesterday, but who mourned over sin? He mourned over Jerusalem and how they would not believe in him. He mourned over the crowds that were mocking him at the foot of the cross as they spit on him and laughed at him. And he even prayed for them, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. It is Jesus who is the meek one, as he once said, learn from me, for I am gentle and meek, and you will find rest for your souls. And while we hunger and thirst to win the lottery, we hunger and thirst for a good retirement, we hunger and thirst for a good spouse someday, or a good marriage, or whatever the case may be, Jesus hungered and thirsted for righteousness, and he was persecuted for it. He was pure in heart. He was the peacemaker who made peace between God and mankind by his blood and death on the cross. And it is only when we are joined to Jesus by faith and baptism that we can apply these Beatitudes to ourselves. Did you notice how this text started? Were you paying attention? It says that the crowds were gathered around Jesus. The crowds. But then his disciples came to him. And he said to them, the disciples, blessed are you. You see, this text is spoken not to the crowds, It's spoken to the disciples. And who's that? Are you one? Disciples are those joined to Jesus by faith and holy baptism. As Jesus says, go make disciples by baptizing them. Is that you? Baptized? And teaching them all things I've commanded you. If you read St. Paul's epistles, it's a very interesting little phrase. En Christo. En Christo. I bet you can translate that. In Christ. Occurs over 75 times in his epistles. As he urges Christians, they must be in Christ. The minute you're outside of Christ and cut off from him, you are not a saint. And it's pure arrogance to claim that you can be. But in Christ. In Christ. Everything he is, everything he has, it's all mine. Listen to what Paul writes to the Christians in Corinth. If anyone, notice how he says anyone, he doesn't care how old you are, how young you are, what color your skin is, whether you're smart or dumb, old or young, anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old has passed away. The new has now come. So I ask you again, are you one of God's blessed saints? Are you en Christo? Have you been baptized? Then you are certainly one of God's blessed saints. One set apart not by yourself, but by God himself as being special to him. And joined to Jesus, being en Christo, in Christ, through faith and baptism, our Lord now urges us to follow him. Follow him. Take up our cross and be like him as best we can. And the cross is any situation we're in that causes us discomfort, inconvenience, or maybe even persecution and death simply because of our being en Christo, in Christ. Jesus has warned us, whoever does not bear his cross, and we all have them, if you stand up for Jesus, you confess your faith, you live the kind of life the Lord wants you to live, you come to church regularly, you will face the heat of persecution in one way or another. It's inevitable for all of us. Whoever does not bear his cross and come after me is not my disciple. I don't know about you, but following Jesus is not always a happy thing to do. And that's why some translations are so misleading. I just read one this week, which translates the Beatitudes not as blessed are you, but happy are you when you mourn. This is nonsense. God does not promise us in these Beatitudes that we're going to be happy all the time. This is dead wrong and sets people up to turn their back on the Christian faith. The Greek word does not mean happy. That's an emotion. The Greek word means a state of being. You are blessed, you see. And no matter whether you mourn, whether you cry, whether you're sad, whatever, you are still in a state of being blessed. These are not platitudes or pious wishes. When Jesus says, blessed are you, he doesn't say you might be blessed. He says, blessed are you. No matter what you suffer, you are blessed with Jesus. I want to read Luther's last couple theses of his 95 theses where he talks about this. To a church that said that you are most blessed by God when you have power in this world. And Luther responds in the opposite. And he says, Thesis 93, blessed be those preachers who tell Christ's people, cross, cross, cross. Not popular, even today. 94, Christians should be exhorted to be diligent in following Christ their head through penalties, death, and hell itself. 95, and thus be confident of entering heaven with Jesus through many tribulations rather than the false security of peace. There was no resurrection and glory for Jesus without the cross first. And there will be no glory for you and for me without suffering the cross first. But for us Christians, the good news is when we bear the cross of Jesus, there will always be a resurrection. For that is his promise. Because I live, you shall live too. So now for a time, we may mourn in life. We may thirst to be more like Jesus and hate ourselves sometimes because we can't do it. Now, we're often taken advantage of when we try to keep the peace and be peacemakers and be meek. And now we may be persecuted in one way or another for confessing our faith, but en Christo, in Christ, we are also blessed forever. For ours, it's what Jesus says, ours is the kingdom of heaven. What could be better than that? We shall be comforted forever. We shall see God, for we are sons of God. For Scripture assures us, in Christ Jesus, en Christo Jesus, in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God. Whether you are male or female, Jew or Greek, white or black, smart or dumb, rich or poor, in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have been clothed in Christ Himself. So what He is, you are. And I love St. John's words this morning in the epistle lesson, how he put it. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we shall be may not yet be seen, but we know that when He appears, we will be like Him. And everyone who thus hopes in Jesus purifies himself as He is pure. We now take a few moments, as we do every year, on this Feast of All Saints, to read the names of members of our own congregation who died this past year. And every year I remind the congregation, maybe next year your name or mine will be read. Some of these folks who are members in this congregation sat where you sat right now. They sat there last year. Their names will be read today. We knew these people. We knew their weaknesses. We knew their failures. Please all listen, because we're all like them. We knew their struggles. They weren't always the best models of faithful Christianity. But you know what? They were just like you. And they were just like me. They were not as faithful as they should have been. But we are not either. They didn't hunger and thirst for righteousness. But neither do we often. They were often self-centered and very proud. But baptized in Jesus' name, they were blessed with the Lord Himself. Set aside in Christo. And now, we heard about them. Pastor Johnson read it. They gathered around the throne. Their tears are wiped away. Their sorrows are gone. And they rest forever from all sin, worry, grief, pain, trouble, sickness. They rest with the saints forever in heaven. For theirs was and is now forever the kingdom of heaven. And in the collect today, we pray then that God would grant that we might so follow His blessed saints that with them we may come to the unspeakable joys that God has prepared for those who love Him, anticipated now in a few moments, as we do every week, right up here, as the risen Christ will put in our mouths His own risen and ascended body and blood to assure us in the foretaste of the feast to come of a place with Him and all the saints around the throne of God. We now take a moment to meditate and reflect on those who are now with Jesus in heaven.